Thank the Lord for that. Notice in Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. This morning, our Sunday school lesson, Brother Barry, reminded us how God orchestrates things and things happen. And I love Brother Tom Gillum saying, things happen, but they don't just happen. And how would you think, think about this. God used a taxation to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem because he'd already prophesied in the book of Malachi and Micah that he was going to be born in the city of Bethlehem. And the way they did it was caused them to tax and people had to go pay taxes. And so he shows up and they show up in Bethlehem. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought first her firstborn son. Mary was a chosen vessel. But you know, she's just like every other woman in this building. She was unique. God chose her for a unique purpose. But she was a woman. And when she knew she was bearing Christ, she rejoiced that she was carrying her own Savior in her womb. Isn't that an amazing thing? And then afterward, she had other children. Jesus had brothers and sisters. Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 3, when you get time, and you'll see the listing of Jesus' brothers and sisters. But now notice this, what we notice in chapter 2 and verse 7 again. And she brought first her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There were the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, this morning, I want to thank you, Lord, for the wonderful spirit that's in the house of God this morning. Lord, thank you for the word of God that was rich and blessing to my heart in the Sunday school hour this morning. And Lord, and the singing of the congregation and the choir this morning. Lord, I thank you for touching them and blessing our heart. And oh, Lord, we do bless your name and thank you. And oh, what a holy night it was when Jesus was born. And Lord, thank you for touching Ms. Julia just now. Lord, I thank you for the anointing of God that was on her, blessing our heart. Now, Lord, I pray, God, you take control of me, speak through me. Our Father, every person in this building, every person in the sound of my voice will live forever somewhere. And our Father, it is your purpose and your plan in giving your Son that every person might have an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And as Ms. Julia quoted a while ago, that if they believe on the Lord, they'd have everlasting life. And now, God, I pray, thank you for your Holy Ghost. Thank you for your presence. God, touch me and use me for your glory. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The God that's mentioned in this passage of Scripture is our God. And it said, God, to God be the glory. Glory to God in the highest. This God is the eternal, all-wise, all-powerful God. He fashioned everything that you see. He knows and named every star. He causes the tide to go in and out, the sun to rise and to set. He feeds every living creature every day on the face of the earth. He created the majestic mountains of North Carolina and the endless, it seems, oceans down on our coast. He's a great God. He's an awesome God. He's a loving God. And all those things are joyous that he's done. But the greatest joy is given to us here in this passage of Scripture. And that joy was this, a Savior is born. And that is wonderful. That's marvelous. That's such a joyous truth. But the word I want to share with you this morning is even more joyous. But notice what it says, if you will, please, in verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Here's the joyous truth, the joy of a personal Savior. He is a personal Savior. This personal Savior knows you perfectly. He knows everything about you. He knew you before you were ever born. He knows everything effortlessly. God can remember, but He doesn't have to remember because He already knows everything. In the modern technology we have, the computers, that you know, they pull up at certain speeds. And so the thing is now, every time something new comes out that's faster and more efficient, pops up, and pull all that vast knowledge it has. And the quicker it can recall it, the more valuable it is. But I tell you what, He knows everything instantly. He doesn't have to remember anything. He doesn't have to pull up everything. He knows everything, an infinite God. But He knows you. Here's the amazing thing. David said, what is man that thou art even mindful of him? But not this personal God knows all about you. He knows your greatest need. I need water. I need food. I need all light. I need things like everybody else needs things. But if you had to list and category, your greatest need is this, that you'd have your sins forgiven and that you could live in heaven. He not only knows that greatest need, but He knows the enormity of that sin. That sin brought death, Adam and Eve's sin. He said, in the day that you eat of this fruit, you'll surely die. And they did die. They continued to walk. They put fig leaves on. They were afraid of God. But something died that day inside of them. Every person in this building, you have a body, soul, and a spirit. But that spirit inside of you is a dead spirit. It died the day Adam sinned in all of his race. It's called the old nature. It is a nature of death. And God knows that. And He knows your greatest need. He also knew what could remedy that. In the eternal counsel of God, before the world was ever fashioned, God had already set in motion the plan of His redemption. He knew what you needed. He knew, and personally, He knew your name. And again, I remind you, and I quote it almost every week, in Peter, he says, He bore all of our sins in His own body on the tree. Our is plural, meaning all of us, but every one of us personally, individually, every sin you've ever committed, every sin of neglect, every sin of commission, all of that sin was put on Him. He knew what you needed, and He gave you a Savior. For unto you, personally, unto you. I looked at this. Notice, if you will, please, that word, you, in this passage of Scripture. Look at verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. What a wonderful thought in this passage is that over and over again, He says, you, you, you. It's personal. This Savior knows you personally. But can I say something to you? It's one thing to know somebody personally, but it's another thing to love somebody personally. He loves you. Every person in this building, every person around the world, He loves every Muslim. He loves every person in this nation. He loves every person in Africa where our brother Cabot has been ministering. He loves everybody in India. And the Bible says, for God so loved the whole world. What a wonderful thing. That is so wonderful, marvelous that God, who is infinite in His love and His compassion, could love everybody. But here's the joy of Christmas. He's a personal Savior, and He loves you. He knows all about you. He knows every thought. He knows every sin. He knows everything you've ever done, and He loves you. Not because of who you are, not because of what you're going to do or what you could do for Him, but He just set His love on you. He loves you personally. I cannot explain to you how infinitely awesome His love is toward you personally. It is eternal love. The Bible said he loves us with an everlasting love. That means he does not love us more tomorrow or less tomorrow. It means he loves us infinitely all the time. And thank God, it's a personal love. He knows all about you and loves you. There's some things about me and things about you. If everybody in here knew everything about everybody, we may not love them as much as we say we do. But God knows all of our faults. He knows all of our problems. He knows all of our sin. He knows every thought. And he loves us personally. Oh, my dear friend, he knows you personally. He loves you personally. But for those of you who are saved, he spoke to you personally. I want to speak to everybody when I come to church, and I don't ever get to do it. Used to, over in the old building, when we would have 40, I'd stand on the front porch, I'd shake hands with everybody going in and everybody coming out. I just don't get to do that anymore. I don't get to have that personal contact anymore. And I don't get to speak to you. And I miss getting to hear your voice and get to speak to you sometime. But every person in this building, the voice that spoke and said, let there be light, and the voice that said, let the seas bring forth life in them, and he spoke and vegetation appeared and all of those things, that same voice is the voice that he speaks to you personally with. The God of this universe, while he's feeding all the creatures on the face of the earth, while he's making the tides go in and out, the sun rise and set, while he's looking, taking care of everything around the world, he knows you personally and he speaks to you personally. If you're saved today, he spoke to you because he called you by name. He spoke to you. On the road to Damascus, he spoke to Paul. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He speaks to you just like he spoke to Paul, just like he speaks to others. The God of this universe, he gives you a personal call. There's what's called a general call. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the gospel call. But in that gospel call is that call where he speaks to you as an individual. You may be in this building Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you hear the words, but it just goes in and out. It doesn't mean that much sometime. But there'll be a day when you don't hear my voice, you'll hear his voice. And it is a creative voice. It is a convicting voice. And it is a converting voice. He'll change you, create in you a brand new creature when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friend, think about that. Just think about it. He spoke to you personally. But not only that, he saves you personally. He forgives all of your sin personally. What is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law, but it's a sin against God himself. And he's the one that we are accountable to. We've broken his law. We trampled under feet the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he speaks to us personally. And when we respond in faith, my dear friend, he forgives us personally. You don't have to be accountable to any preacher, any pope, any bishop, any neighbor, any friend. It's God that loved you. It's God that gave his son to die for you. It's God that spoke to you. And when you trust him by faith, it's God that forgives all of your sin. His forgiveness is not like anybody else's in this world. There's no way anybody could forgive as God forgave. He forgave every thought sin, every sin I mentioned to you a while ago, all of those sins. But he chooses not to remember them against you anymore. That's cast as far as the east is from the west. And thank God for that. And it's personal. Everything you've ever done, you say, Brother Billy, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. But Jesus does. God does. And he forgave every sin that you've ever committed when you believed on him. And it's God that forgave you. And I love the illustration sometimes preachers use, and I heard it years ago and it was impactful in my life. You stand before the Lord and you're so humbled and broken when you get to heaven. And God, why in the world could you save a wicked wretch like me? All the things I've done this and I've done that and done the other. And he'll look at us through his eyes of grace and mercy. And he said, I don't remember any of those things that you did. I only know that you trusted my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all I need to know. You're welcome home, my son. Wow. Thank God he knows us personally. Thank God he loves us personally. Thank God he calls us personally. Thank God he saves us personally. And thank God he indwells us personally. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And the Bible said, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit of God comes in your heart crying, Abba, Father. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God comes inside of you. God himself comes inside of you. Thank God for that. He indwells you personally. We the little children, we talk to them and you ask them about Jesus and do you believe in Jesus? And yes, where's Jesus? He's inside my heart. And boy, I love Tom Gillum telling about his wife and talking or tells a story about a little girl and she's teaching a lesson. And the teacher's telling how awesome God is, how big God is. The heavens can't contain him and everything else. And yet when you get saved, he comes on the inside. And the little girl says, well, teacher, if he's that big, it looks like he'd be hanging out of us, you know? And if he's that big, he ought to be hanging out of us. The Holy Ghost of God living inside of us is God himself living inside this clay tabernacle and the person of the Holy Spirit of God. You ought to just say amen right there if you're awake. You think about it. Oh, God, the Holy Ghost of God came in my heart. The Spirit of God that moved upon this earth one day in creation. The Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead. That same Holy Ghost lives inside of you right now because he saved you personally. He's your Savior and he comes in and dwells inside of you. He teaches you personally. Oh, listen, I love to sit at Brother Barry's feet and listen to him. He's been teaching the Word of God so long. He made a simple statement at the end this morning when he was summarizing his lesson. And I said, that people don't understand how great that was. It's so simple. You know what? The best thing, a teacher that's a real teacher makes things seem so simple to you. In college, I have and you have too. You've had professors who thought they were smart. They wanted you to know they were smart. And they tried to impress you by asking you things and requiring things on tests that they probably don't even know theirself. And they try to make it seem so hard and difficult. But the best teachers I've ever had could take the most detailed and things like that and make them so very simple that you could understand it. And then what he said, who's moved you from the simplicity of the gospel? It's very simple. Oh, listen, he teaches you the truth of the Word of God. People say the Bible's not hard to understand. No, it's not that at all. It's just so massive. You just learn it a little bit at the time. Isaiah said, here a little, there a little. That's the way you learn the Word of God. And as you, the Holy Spirit of God is your teacher. He teaches you personally. Oh, it'd be a blessing to have some great Bible teacher to sit down and ask him the question. But did you know that every time you sit down with the Word of God, the author of this book is inside of you and he's there with you? And he said the Holy Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. That's not for preachers and missionaries and everybody else. It's for every man in this building, for every young adult in this building, for every woman in this building, for every young person in this building. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. He'll guide you and teach you personally. You think about that. Oh, they were impressed about Paul because he sat at the feet of Gabriel. But my dear friend, you've sat at the feet of Jesus like Mary and Martha. My dear friend, that's an amazing place to be. And he teaches you personally. Everything you know about the Bible, everything truth you know, God the Holy Ghost taught it to you personally. He was your instructor. You may have heard a preacher preach or a teacher preach, but the truth be known, and they would give credit where credit's due. It was not me. It was the Holy Ghost of God. You think about that. Everything you know, you may read after great authors and Spurgeon and other men in days gone by, some of the new writers, and you find a little truth, a little nugget, it blesses you. But whatever is real and truth, He teaches you all truth. That is an inclusive statement. That means there's no truth taught outside of Him. He's the only teacher of truth, but it also encompasses all truth. He can teach you anything you need to know. And He knows everything there is to know about this Bible. And you cannot stand it. You cannot take all of it at one time. And so He teaches us line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But He teaches you personally. I don't know if you're getting blessed or not, but if you'll think about this for a while, He's a personal Savior. Unto you is born this day. What a joy to have the author of the Bible living inside of you. What a joy to have Him teaching you. What a joy to know that He loves you, knows everything there's to know about you, and He loves you anyway. What a joy to know that He paid for every one of your sins. What a joy to know that He's forgiven every one of your sins. Oh, listen, what a blessed thing. But this God who loves you personally and personal salvation, He not only indwells you personally, not only does He instruct you personally, but He chastens you personally. He said He chastens every son. Brother Barry, I referred to my Sunday school teacher. He said, I don't think he used the word bet. That's him being a deacon and all. But I bet you that every one of us sin in some way every day. Brother Barry got real personal. I had to hang my head. He said, if it says 55 and you go 60, five over, if you go five over, then you've sinned. You've broken man's law. Boy, I'm a sinner. God help me, forgive me. But you know what? He personally forgave me for all of my sin, past, present, and future. Now, if I just sin willfully, if I know something's wrong when I do it, Hebrews said there's no more bloodshed for that except for your own. It's kind of like what they used to say about the old timers. If you disobey mom and daddy, they'd be bloodshed in the woodshed. And if you sin willfully, there comes chastening. What is chastening? Is it judgment? No. We pass from judgment to life. There's therefore no condemnation in them in Christ Jesus. Chastening is God's corrective work in us. Sometimes it's very painful. And when you have a child and you tell them don't go toward the road and you look and they're going toward the road, and you get them by the hand and you paddle them or switch them or whatever you do, you're not trying to hurt them. You're trying to help them. You don't want them to go to that road. You don't want them to get out and do the same. And God chastens every child. If you say I'm a Christian and you do things contrary to this book and the Holy Ghost of God who wrote the Bible is inside of you, and if you do something contrary to what this Bible teaches, if you don't feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, if you don't feel His chastening hand, you're not a Christian. You're not born again by the grace of God, because He chastens us personally. Most of you with gray hair in here would thank God that you had a mama or a daddy who chastened you. It didn't hurt you. It really helped you in the long run. It was a blessing. My dear friend, God chastens every son who receives. He's a great God. He's a personal Savior. Oh, listen, not only does He chasten us and teach us, but this same personal God will receive us into glory. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's like the good shepherd in Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, that's the chastening, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He personally is our shepherd. But then He says this, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's going to take us home one of these days personally. He's not willing that any should perish. He loves you. And I say to you this morning in this building and in the media audience, He loves you. He knows you. He cares about you. He knows your greatest need. He's already made provision for that. He gave His Son to die for you. He wants to save you. He's not willing that any should perish. And He made this promise, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He wants to save you personally. Not me. Not me. Moody one time saw somebody and they were drunk. And they came up to him and said, "Mr. Moody, you saved me in your tent revival some weeks ago." And he's standing there drunk. And Mr. Moody said, "I'm sure I did, but I'm pretty sure God didn't. And I have had people to join church and get baptized because of my influence. And that won't do you a bit of good. If you hadn't met the Master, if he hadn't spoke to you personally, but he'll save you personally today. If you'll call on him, he'll save you personally. He's not a stick. He's not a rock. He's not unknown nor unknowable. He's not the force that you need to connect with. He's not some mystical deity. He's real. And he's got a name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people." His name is Jesus. And today, what you need more than anything in this world is Jesus. He's available to you personally. He loves you personally. He'll save you personally if you'll receive him personally. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Ms. Brundle, as you come to play something for us this morning. At Christmas time, more than likely, there'll be a package somewhere at your home, perhaps under the tree or wherever you put them at. It'll have your name on it because somebody knows you. They know your name. It'll be wrapped paper with bows, perhaps, and a name tag because they wanted you to have it. Inside is something they purchased for you. They thought you might want or would be a blessing to you. And they did that because they love you. You can walk by that package day after day. And so that's such a beautiful ribbon. That's such a beautiful package. They've spelled my name correctly. I appreciate whoever did that. But you'll never enjoy nor benefit from that gift until you take it and unwrap it and receive it. He came into his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And today in the radio and media audience and in this auditorium, there's one thing keeping you out of heaven. It is you receiving the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. I don't know all of your names personally. I would love to. It was good to meet a friend this morning from over in Four Oaks. Friends that we have been pastor of for many years. We have some guests that I don't know all of your names. But I can tell you right now, there's somebody in this building that knows your name. You may have forgotten the day you were born, but they know the day you were born. They know the name you started, the day you started school. They knew the first time that you disobeyed your mom and dad. They know the first time you committed vile sin. They know every thought you've ever had. And his name is Jesus. He knows you, knows all about you. He knew you before the foundation of the world, and he died for you. I bring you good tidings of great joy this morning. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But you have to receive him. You've got to trust him as your Savior. Oh, my dear friend, some of you have fond memories of days gone by. Sadly, so many gifts we've received, we don't even remember them. But I'm sure that there's one or two or three that you remember. You can remember the situation. You remember when you were 8 years old, 9 years old, 12 years old, and you really got something you really treasured all these years. A lot of things I've been blessed with that I'm sorry I don't remember all of them. A lot of gifts people have given me, I don't remember all them. But I would never, never forget what happened to me when I received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to tell you right now, it brings joy to my heart and tears to my eyes because He loved me personally. I know me. I don't deserve any of it. Neither do you. But I want you to know He wants you to have everything He's got right now. If you'll receive His Son freely by Him, He'll give you all things. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed? And in the media audience as well, I'd ask you to do this. Right where you are, if you're in your home, or certainly if you're driving an automobile, you can't close your eyes. But would you right now, number one, if you have been saved by the grace of God, would you thank Him right now that He is a personal Savior? He knows you far better than you know Him. It was a burning desire in Paul's heart to know Him better, that I might know Him, the fellowship of His suffering, the power of His resurrection. Oh, he wanted to know Him more and more. Thank Him for saving you. Thank you that He's a personal Savior. And I want to say to you this morning, you may be very old, you may be very young. You may be a young adult, but full of life and so many aspirations and ambitions and so many things to do and so many responsibilities with the children. He knows your greatest need, and that is that you be saved. And I challenge you, beg you, plead with you right now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're in this building, I'm not asking you to join Benson Grove Baptist Church. We welcome members, those who've been saved, washed in the blood, been baptized, or whatever. We welcome that. But more than anything in the world, we want you to be saved. You can be saved this morning. I promise you one thing, you'll never ever regret it. And if you hadn't been saved, I invite you to take one step of faith toward the aisle. The Holy Ghost of God will bring you the rest away. Tim and Justin will be down here by the front. They'll meet you. They'll pray with you. They'll have somebody to pray with you. Heavenly Father, right now, I want to pray for all our friends in the media audience, internet, YouTube, on the radio, all these in the building. God, I don't know every one of their names. Some of them on the media are listening in other states. But God, you're right there with them. You know them. You burden my heart to bring this message. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, your personal Savior. You died for them, every one of them, by name. You know them right now. And God, I pray that they respond in faith and turn to you and ask you to forgive them of their sin and receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord, believing on you. God, I pray you do that now. I pray, God, that you speak to their hearts. Those who are saved, those who don't know you, draw them by your grace and save them for your sake and for your glory. And we'll praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name.